powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
We are officially less than 2 weeks from the draft. In fact, we're a week away from rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. And Bump and I have an interesting set of previews for you guys. So on some days, we're going to be doing a basic draft preview. This is who the Seahawks can take in the first round. It doesn't always necessarily have to be pick 16, but what we're looking at is like, who might they take at 16? Maybe they trade a little further back. And a lot of these are guys that they've had top 30 visits with that we know they're interested in that would be great fits. Bump has done a great profile on Troy Fautanu. We looked at Bo Nix because of his visit, even though Nix may be a second rounder. This preview is a bit different. What this is a preview called Drafting Seahawks. So we're going to look at a couple guys that would just be a fit for the Seahawks, and these are not guys you're going to hear day one. This is not someone who's going to be taken 16 overall. These are not top 10 picks. These are just guys that we have our eyes on because we think the Seahawks might too. They, on paper, look, feel, sound, seem like Seahawks players for myriad reasons. Some of them are great leaders. Some of them are gritty. Some of them are really athletic and raw and have a lot of upside. They just need some sharpening of the edges. So let's get to it with Drafting Seahawks Linebacker Edition. We have 4 names to cover, and all of them are going to address a major, major hole on this roster. Linebacker, you need long-term answers here. So I'm going to start Bump with Edgerrin Cooper. He is the top linebacker in the class, may end up going in the first round, though has also been mocked in the second. Of this entire class, he's the most complete. Like, of all of the linebackers we're going to talk about today, if you want to find a sure thing or someone that you feel like, this is the guy that is most likely going to succeed, it's going to be Cooper. It's not an especially strong class for linebackers, but you've been looking at some of these guys. Again, you're going to talk about what you see on tape, but for Cooper in general, 6'2", 230, good size, good arm length, 34 inches, really, really athletic guy, which feels always so silly to say about college athletes. Of course, they're athletic, but he's especially fast, rangy, which is always really great to have with guys in the middle. The reason that he's slipping a little bit, just a little bit, is... according to the Athletics preview, just a little bit of some timing issues. Maybe you need, to build up the lower body strength, like just little tiny nitpicky things. There aren't like huge character concerns the way that yesterday we talked about with Sweat. So what do you see with our first linebacker, Cooper?
I'm going to disagree a little bit with you. I don't think Edgerrin Cooper is the guy that's for sure ready to go. I think that he has the potential to have a really good NFL career, but... yeah, I don't think he's a guy, but I think the guys on this list, though, we'll talk about him.
I can guess who it is.
Yeah, you probably know what I'm talking about. Edgerrin Cooper, like you mentioned, 6'2", 230 pounds. Now, I love this guy. He reminds me, he is what, some of the things that he does athletically reminds me of what they expected Derek Hall to do. This guy is explosive when it comes to getting after the quarterback in the blitz. I wrote down a note. I go, good at sorting out chaos. So what that means is good at sorting out chaos is that when there is chaos in the box, when linemen are pulling down, blocking, you got tight ends trying to get to that second level, he is able to keep his eyes in the backfield, shoulder square to the line of scrimmage, use his hands to shed blocks and sort out the chaos and meet the running back at the line of scrimmage, maybe a TFL or a gain of 2 or 3. Again, I'm going to say this about every prospect we talk about. You win some battles and you lose some battles. This is a guy who will be perfect in a Tampa 2 type of defense as well. Because he can sort out the chaos, he's good with his run steps. He drops into coverage, can play the middle of the field, and is athletic enough to pick up these crossing routes that are going on. He's also really good at spying the quarterback. Something that when you looked at Jordan Brooks when he was at Texas Tech, something he was good at. He pretty much just freelanced when he was at Texas Tech. Play the middle of the field, you see run, you get ball. Play the middle of the field, if you see quarterback going, he's yours, and you drop into space as well. I like what he can do. He can do everything you're asking a linebacker to do. He can fill the gap, he can blitz, he can drop into coverage. He does it all, man. At 6'2", 230 pounds. He's not a tweener, but he's at that size to where if you need him to bump outside and get off the edge and take on a tackle, he can do that. If you need him to get inside and battle with a guard and centers in that A and the B gap, he can do exactly that. I can see why people consider him like the cream of the crop when it comes to this this linebacker core, which isn't very deep. There are some guys we're going to talk about who are good, but yeah, I can see him having a great NFL career. I mean, this guy is a ball player, man. Ran a 4.5, 140. He can move And again, the best thing I see about this dude, he sorts out the chaos. And when he diagnoses something, he is downhill quickly.
I'm going to guess that this next name is your favorite of the four that we're going to mention here.
Mm-hmm.
Is it one Peyton Wilson?
It's Peyton Wilson.
Peyton Wilson, amazing size, 6'4", 236. Let's save the weaknesses for the second half because I have questions for you here. Mm-hmm. But talk about what you love about Peyton Wilson.
Let's go back to high school. Is he a multi-sport athlete, a lacrosse and wrestling guy? He won state in wrestling his last year in school. 17 tackles, 4 loss, 6 sacks, 3 interceptions, was an ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He's the fastest linebacker in the country. That's one of the reasons why he is a step above all of these guys. Linebackers got to be able to move. He can move the best. Also, he is great at blitzing. I think that he's versatile. He's good in the box. He can play in the box. He's more on the edge a little bit. He can play in the box. He can rough up a tight end off the line of scrimmage. It's just his range. I mean, from sideline to sideline, he's going to get it. I've seen him running with slot receivers down the seam. It's just when I think of what linebackers are transforming into, they're turning into Peyton Wilson. Now, you still need your edge and Coopers, the big guys or bigger guys, thicker guys who can get in the box and get nasty. The knock on Peyton is his frame. They don't think he's big enough yet. When you're drafted, you're what, 22, 23, you can still put on some of that grown man weight, or they could use you in a different way, in a more versatile type of defense. I see him in like that 3-4 type of defense. We're going to ask your linebackers to do a bit more when it comes to coverage. I just love the range. I love the intensity of this guy. I guess we'll talk about the concerns because he does have some concerns, yeah. And we'll hit on that in a little bit.
I hate his concerns because they're things that are totally out of your control. His biggest red flag is, of course, his medicals.
Yeah.
From The Athletic, he's had double-digit surgeries since his senior year of high school. The primary concern are his knees, his ACL, where he's had some surgeries there. He did get a knock for having short arms. I know everyone always thinks of, like, they want this KJ Wright spider situation. You want a guy with long arms that can bat balls down and cover everyone. He is 2 inches taller than Cooper and has arms that are 4 inches shorter. However, as someone with incredibly short arms for my body frame, I think representation is important. And I am here for Peyton Wilson, playing for the Seahawks and bringing those short arms to life. But the medicals do make me concerned. Do they give you pause?
Yeah, I mean, it gave me concern. It was his senior year of high school and his freshman year at North Carolina State. After that, he put together 3 seasons, and he looked good. You have to take that into consideration, most definitely. ACLs ain't the way they used to be. That's why everyone hooting and hollering about Michael Penix. I go, yeah, that's real, okay? We can't ignore his knees, but he's put together 2 good seasons and shown that he can stay healthy. But you never really know. Mm-hmm. And when you try to start separating football players when it comes to money, expectations, you got to look at medicals. So, bam, the injury history is for sure concerning, but I think he's the best backer in this class, and y'all should take a look at him.
I don't disagree with you. I still think Cooper will get – I mean, Cooper is mocked higher, but I think if Peyton was a year younger and had half the surgeries he's had – it would be, he'd be a first rounder.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, let's get to a little bit later in the draft with 2 more names. So I tried to organize this as in, like, hey, here's the guys that if you're the Seahawks, you trade back into the early second round or somewhere on day 2 and you take Cooper, you take Wilson. These are some fits for your defense. The next 2 names are in order going a little bit further in the draft. So the name I'm about to say is going to be a little bit later than these 2. And then the 4th name we get to is going to be, you know, potentially like a day 3 guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, the next name, Jeremiah Trotter Jr. Now, why do I think that a guy like John Schneider would be intrigued? Of course, it's going to be an NFL pedigree. And I know that you look at that and you, general, you think like, well, what does it matter? I think that the influence of parents and of people in your life matters to NFL teams. I genuinely do. I think it matters to the Seahawks. I think it matters to them that this kid has great work ethic and like a great lineage of having his father having played in the NFL, knowing that his father knows knows what it takes. He is an imperfect NFL product, though. There are some strengths and weaknesses here. Bump, tell us a bit about Jeremiah Trotter Jr.
You know why I felt like I had a chance to go to make it in the NFL? Because my cousin Larry Bumps out of Oregon State got invited to camp, and seeing him do it made me believe that I could do it. And knowing that we share the last name and the same genes, I'm like, all right, I might have a chance to do this, right? Same thing here. Joey Porter Jr., you see what he's doing. Mm-hmm. Asante Samuel has a son in the league. Marvin Harrison Jr. is genetics is real, so even though he's going to get a look because of his name, he's also going to get a look because his DNA has allowed him to ball out. All right, so he's 6 foot, 228 pounds. He's a little smaller when it comes to that linebacker position, but I also think, again, that's the way the NFL is going. Range, range, range is what I think about when I see this guy, man. He's one of the best cover linebackers in the draft this year, and this is a guy who also plays downhill. When you watch him attack the football. Now, Peyton Wilson is a rangy guy. Not super violent, but rangy. You look at Jeremiah Trotter. He's rangy, but he's violent once he gets to you. It almost looks like he's trying to injure you when he tackles you. That's what linebackers have to bring to the table, especially back in my guy Dave Wyman days. I like this guy. He's a guy who should get picked up later on in the draft. He's a guy that I think, out of all these guys, he's the dude who I feel like is most likely to end up with the Seahawks because of where he's going to be drafted and just the needs that these guys have. Cooper's going to be gone. Wilson's going to be gone. We're going to talk about someone else here pretty soon. But I look at Jeremiah Trotter and I go, all right, he reminds me kind of Jerome Baker, the linebacker that they have right now. Same type of, they look a bit more slimmer than they are. They're a bit more flexible than you think. And then they have that range. So Jeremiah Trotter, I'd look at Jerome Baker and say, that'd be a perfect little protege for Jerome. He's on a one-year deal. You can bring in Jeremiah Trotter to learn. He's going to get reps as well, whether it be defense or on special teams, and kind of just groom him. He's the type of kid to where you don't need him to have 100 tackles today, but tomorrow he might get it done.
I will allow full bragging rights, including a replay of this entire thing, if the Seahawks draft Jeremiah Trotter Jr., who you said is most likely of all of these names to be drafted by Seattle. The last name I threw in here was just kind of random. I chose it because he has an interesting background, and I know the Seahawks have been open to these types of players. The name is Tyron Hopper. He's a linebacker out of Missouri. He is not a completed project. He is not even one of the top maybe like 5, 6, 7, 8 linebackers in this class. What this guy is a guy who has a very versatile background that I think is interesting and who the Seahawks may be looking at if they end up having, you know, like, oh, it's day 3. We still need a linebacker. What do we do? It's the 4th round, you know, or maybe like late in the 3rd. What do we do here? We got to add someone. This is that kind of name. The reason that Hopper's interesting to me is he used to be a corner who transitioned to a linebacker. And I always used to look at, you know, when people would ask about Jamal Adams and be like, no, you need to be bigger. You need to do whatever. But then I was thinking of everything you've said about the way that linebackers have evolved and that they are a little smaller and they are a little rangier and they are a little faster. Hopper needs to add bulk. He needs more athleticism or not athleticism. He needs to add strength. Like he needs a little bit more of the linebacker aspect to it. But he's also got great coverage skills that he's brought with him from having been a corner earlier in his career. And he is not being drafted as a corner. He is a linebacker.
Yeah.
Buckus Award finalist or one of 5 finalists for it. Like, again, not a top prospect, just a versatile option that's intriguing.
Well, he ain't small.
No.
6'2", 231.
Yeah, former corner.
You see why he made that transition, because that big body wasn't made to cover receivers. But when I put on the film of Hopper, like with everyone else, the thing that sticks out to me is they are explosive. Jeremiah Trotter, explosive. He's nasty. Edrin Cooper, super athletic. It reminds me of what they expected Derek Hall to be, honestly. Mm. Peyton Wilson, the fastest linebacker I've ever seen in my life. Rangy as heck, can get downfield. I look at Hopper, and I just see a guy who is more fluid than explosive, which means that he's not going to wow you with his first step. He is not going to wow you with the way he is at the point of attack, but he's where he's supposed to be, and he does it in a smooth type of way, which goes against what you think of when you think of defenders in a box. You want them to be violent, hands-on,
right,
scraping. That's just not what he does, at least not yet, because he did make the transition. Think about a Tariq Woolen, a guy that we're still expecting to take steps for because he started off as a receiver. He has the athleticism to be a corner, but there are some things that he has to learn. It's the same thing with Hopper, right? He has the athleticism to be a corner. We're moving him in the box. Now he's got to get used to just that tempo and that pace of play that linebackers play with. I have seen fluid linebackers be good. I mean, you look at Bobby Wagner towards the end of his career. He's became a fluid linebacker, right? Early in his career, he was more violent. Father Time kind of forced him into that. With this young man, there's going to be time to learn that. So this is your project type of dude. He's definitely athletic enough and smart enough to be in the NFL and contribute to a football team, but he's a more fluid type of player who will benefit the most on those special team reps where you have to prove yourself every single snap. You're only going to get like 15 or 20 of those. I like him. He's a project.
All right, you guys, let's get to Four Down Territory.
This is Four Down Territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael
Bumpus.
First
down bump, what's another way some NFL prospects are taking control of the drafting process?
Yeah, they're not showing up to the draft, and I like that. I remember growing up as a kid, man, there's about 25, 30 guys in a green room just waiting. Bo Nix says, nah, I ain't going to go there. Obviously, you shouldn't because you might not go first round. Michael Penix says, I'm not going to be there. Alt, the offensive lineman for Notre Dame, says he's not going to be there. There's another quarterback who said he's not. I think JJ said he's not going to be there. And I'm all for this because the NFL profits so much on draft day and the NFL combine. It's almost like they apply pressure to try to make you get there. But the NFL is also taking notice and figuring out that a lot of these dudes don't want to be there. That's why they're only inviting, 13 to 15 guys to the draft this year, because a lot of guys don't want to be there. They want to be with their families, man. And unless you're going number one overall, unless you are Caleb, unless you are Jaden Daniels, guys who you know are going to get picked in like the first five picks, why not be with your family and celebrate that way? It's so much easier, man, to get your name called, hop on a phone, get off the phone, pop a bottle, celebrate with 30 of your closest peoples, man. So I like this. I like that guys who have leverage did not compete in the draft, right? This is the one time you're going to have all this leverage. And I like that guys are like, all right, I'd rather be with my people, my coaches, my teachers, my mom, dad, cousins, guys who have been with me this whole journey. I'm with that. Keep up the good work, youngsters.
Second down. How will we see history made in the first round of this draft?
All right, I think this is going to go down.
Okay.
I really do. All right, two drafts had four QBs drafted in the top 10 in NFL history. That was in 1949 and 2018. In 2018, you had Baker, you had Darnold, you had Allen, you had Josh Rosen. This year, there are going to be four drafted in the top 10. I'm going to say there's going to be at least five drafted in the top 10. It's about to go down. All right, I'm listening to everyone talk about Caleb, Daniels, JJ, May, Penix, and Bo Nix. Penix is the reason why this might happen. All right, it might happen. I'm going to say I'm 80% that this is going to happen because I think that Minnesota is going to try to move up to grab their guy. All right, if Minnesota moves up, they're the deciding factor. If they move up in this draft, this is going to go down. We're going to see four minimum. We might see five depending on how desperate the Raiders and the Broncos get if they think someone's going to hop in front of them and take that pick. So this is where I want chaos. Not for the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. Number 16, all right, don't get no quarterback.
Yeah,
you guys go ahead.
Don't get cute.
Go in the trenches. Do what you're supposed to do. But Minnesota, shake this thing up. Raiders, shake this thing up. Who else is out there? Denver Broncos, shake this thing up. And I want to see this happen. I think the record was five quarterbacks drafted in the first round in general. All right, I think we'll see at least five in the first round. I love to see five in the first top 10 because then that makes that number 16 pick for the Seattle Seahawks like a number 9 pick. So do it for the Seahawks. Yeah. Go ahead and move up, cause chaos so the Hawks can sit back at number 16 and get a guy they really want.
I think the highest JJ goes is 4 if Arizona trades back, which I don't think they will, so maybe 5 or 6. What's the highest that you think Michael Penix would go? Because I think everyone agrees Michael Penix is the first quarterback of that second group ahead of Bo Nix. But higher than 12?
1, 2, 3.
Like, where's your first big trade where Penix is the goal?
I'm looking at Minnesota, man. It's Minnesota
right
or Dallas. They're at 11.
Okay, if they swap up.
Not Dallas, sorry. I mean Las Vegas, the Raiders.
Yeah.
If Minnesota gets in the mix, I can see it. If Vegas gets in the mix, I can see that as well.
God, that's insane.
So we shall see, man. It's
I'm so excited.
It's far-fetched. It's a tall tale, but I'm here for the chaos. I think it might happen.
Third down. Like Marie Kondo says, we love mess. What did Uchenna Nwosu say yesterday that you think is being blown way out of proportion?
Man. I don't know if you wrote this, Stacey. If you did, I'm not talking crap. I'm just saying.
I did not.
You didn't? Okay. So I don't have to feel bad.
Yeah, so you can just say whatever you want.
is that it's a breath of fresh air. Like, everyone's like, oh, my God, what was going on then? Did he not like it with Pete Carroll? Were things just all messed up over there on defense? We all know what was going on defense. They couldn't tackle. They couldn't stop the run. You couldn't stop the pass. Yeah, I think that this is just a natural transition, and these are things that are going to be said. It is a breath of fresh air. You know why? It's a whole new coaching staff. It's a whole new schedule. There's different expectations. They're going to be taught differently. I think we as reporters, analysts, journalists, whoever you are, we tend to grab onto things and run with it. That's our job, right? Mm-hmm. It's to make it interesting. It's to entertain and do all that good stuff. But I don't like it when it comes at the cost of like a Pete Carroll reputation, because I don't think Pete Carroll just melded in and showed up and wasn't enthusiastic and everyone didn't get along with Pete Carroll. They might have got tired of the message. They might have, might have gotten old a little bit. But I think everyone, when Pete Carroll left, still respected Pete Carroll. So I keep seeing on Twitter and in articles and stuff, Uchenna talking about a breath of fresh air. I'm like, my man wasn't even here last year. He was banged up. Like, it's just, all right, I get it. It's our job to do that, and I do that. I fall victim to that as well. But in this case, I was just like, man, we got to chill with that. I think it should be a breath of fresh air. If it ain't, what the heck are we doing getting rid of Pete Carroll?
Fourth down. Let's talk quarterbacks. What's the best case scenario for Sam Howell in 2024?
This is what I hope from him. This was inspired by a conversation we had yesterday, and we had a little bit of it today. Mm. What are they going to do at that quarterback spot if they don't draft anyone, at least high enough to really make you think that he has an opportunity to play? The best case scenario for Sam Howell is for him to go out and ball out during this preseason, to ball out. I mean, he's got to have 6 touchdowns, 1 interception, 300 to 400 yards.
Like an obvious.
Like, he's got to make it clear, I'm the best backup or one of the best backups in this league. Because then what's going to happen is guys are going to get hurt throughout the season. That trade deadline has been pushed back a week. They're going to hit up the Seahawks and say, what about that Sam kid, you guys? What do you want for him? Well, give us a 3rd-round pick back or give us someone else. You know, the best case scenario is for Sam Howell to look great during preseason and sit down during the season and stay healthy. So then his value just goes up. And to have some of these guys that are making moves kind of struggle a bit, to have a Kirk Cousins struggle a bit, to have a Russell Wilson, Justin Fields struggle a bit, because the more those guys struggle, the more attractive he is going to look. Even if it doesn't get done this year, he doesn't get traded or picked up, that just helps his value for next year. So for Sam Howell, man, and I'm sure he's taking this approach already because he is a professional in this league, you go out and do your thing during the preseason, man. You sit down and be a good backup. Someone's going to grab you. If it ain't the Seahawks, you go ahead and do your thing.
Someone said the more quarter your prediction was 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 10 or first round?
First round.
And you said potential four in the top 10.
Yeah.
Someone said, well, the more quarterback chaos before pick 16, the better for the Hawks.
Yeah, exactly.
Very true. Mm-hmm. I mean, better players end up falling to you. At 16, you know, you're still, there are guys that are off your board now and that are gone. And, you know, that's a bummer when you've spent hours and hours and hours and hours watching tape and interviewing and doing all this stuff. And, you know, you're not going to get that guy. But then he actually goes off the board, I'm sure, and you still feel heartbroken. But there's also going to be guys that are there. Like, I think Troy is going to be there.
Yeah.
I think that Byron Murphy will be there. Like, there will be answers in the trenches for this team. A conversation we'll get back to later in the day, and one that's interesting, is whether they jump that and say, you know what, I know that we need these answers, I know we need these solutions, but man, Michael Penix is sitting here. Like, that's what I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, but I'm wondering if they do.
Minnesota, Denver, Vegas, cause chaos. Talk to the Chargers at 5.
Yeah.
Talk to the Giants at 6 and Tennessee at 7. Get up in the mix.
You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. One of the biggest names in the NFL, who's now retired, might be considering a return to the league. That's next.
This is The Timeline
with Bump and Stacey.
Brought to you by 1-800-DUIOA.
It is The Timeline on Bump and Stacey, reading you the top stories you're going to see and hear about on your own timeline. We'll get started with one out of the NFL, kind of. To the surprise of no one, former Patriots and Bucks quarterback Tom Brady says he'd pick up the phone if a team called him needing a quarterback. This was during an appearance on the podcast Deep Cut. Take a listen.
One day there's a situation, right? Maybe it's the 49ers, maybe, you know, heading to the playoffs. Offense is great.
Patriots, somebody, Raiders, look, could be, you never know.
God forbid somebody goes down, would you pick up that phone?
I'm not opposed to it. If they would, I don't know if they're gonna let me if I become an owner in the NFL team, but I don't know if, I'm always gonna be in good shape, always be able to throw the ball. So to come in for a little bit, like MJ coming back, I don't know if they let me, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Doesn't know if they'd let him, what with his ownership stake in the Raiders, wouldn't be opposed to returning to the NFL.
Sounds good, but what if it's like week 10 and you're already prepping to call the Super Bowl and you're already working to make the Raiders better and you get that call? He can be in shape, but football shape is different. I don't care if you're a quarterback. It's just different type of shape. I think this is Tom Brady just trolling us, honestly. I don't think.
Yes,
I think too. He likes playing golf. He loves spending time with his boys now. He's got other things that he's doing. I think he'll always leave the door open as long as he feels like he can toss a ball 50, 60 yards. But in reality, nah, man. Tom's living a good life. The body is feeling great right now. He's not worried about going into training camp. That means he would have to, in August, start preparing for the just in case.
Mm-hmm.
And nah, man, I think he's trolling us. I think he's good.
I do, too. There are some players who can't walk away. I think Brady is doing this in a promotional way. And we always see Brady as being like, oh, he's the GOAT. He loves football, the game. He's just about it. But consider Deep Cut, the podcast that you heard that, is owned by a company called Shadow Lion, which is co-founded by Tom Brady.
Mm.
You know what gets people listening to your podcast and subscribing to this podcast that you're loosely connected to? Saying some cap on said podcast.
Exactly.
Brady's just following the number one rule of this show.
Yeah, for the clout, right?
Do it for the clout. Number one rule
of
the show.
He's only got the kids half the time now.
Curtis.
So he's got a little more freedom. He can kind of do what he wants, right? Like, yeah, he's 47 years old, but
he is
doing
not,
pretty good at 45.
No, Tom Brady is never going to play football again.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap on Tom Brady.
He won't even play it on Madden. He ain't touching football.
You know what I mean? He's not going to do it anymore. This is purely, purely, purely a commercial endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely 1,000% convinced of this. And I do think that for a long time, Brady was that guy that couldn't walk away. The difference between Brady and everyone else is whenever he would come back, or when he did come back, and not only that, but when he went prior to retiring the first time to play for the Bucks, he looked good. So when Brady says, yeah, I might come back, you get people going, well, what if?
Enjoy retirement. Look forward to hearing you on the Super Bowl, and I hope you get that ownership stick with the Raiders.
Next up, TNT's Kevin Harlan was at his best last night when a chicken wing was mysteriously thrown into the court during the finish of the Pelicans-Kings game.
Pelicans hold on, driving into Murray. Somebody's throwing something on the floor. 46 seconds to go, and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for and put it in that little heater over there. 46 seconds to go. It's Murphy with the ball and Fox the quick foul.
It's crispy. It's warm. I'm kind of hungry.
That reminds me, Curtis, you can relate to this, man. Like, as parents, you got to sacrifice sometimes. Sometimes I got a bomb plate or I bought some food and my kid is like, oh, can I have some? I'm hungry. I'm like, if you're hungry, I'm always going to feed you. But as toddlers, you give them food and they just launch it across the kitchen.
Yeah.
Boom, get that out of here. I go, that was a perfect chicken nugget.
I could have eaten that.
Yeah. That's what that reminded me of.
Yeah, why are you throwing a perfectly good chicken wing? Like, of the foods to throw, like, that would be one of the last ones I'd ever throw. Yeah.
I absolutely agree. It's so disrespectful to that chicken wing. I will say, I am glad that he didn't take the approach of, like, moral grandstanding and saying, like, this is a professional game with professional players giving it their all. How dare you disrespect it by throwing a chicken wing? Like, it might have been a toddler. Maybe it was an annoying teenager. Maybe it was a drunk dude. I don't know. Whatever it was, I think the way Kevin Harlan handled it was perfect.
Yeah, it's crazy how people are expected to behave perfectly in the masses. There's always some dummies in the masses.
Always.
You get 20 people together, at least 3 dummies in that group. You get 17,000 people together, at least 2,000 dummies in that group. So yeah, I'm glad that's the approach.
Have you guys ever been the dummy in the group?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever been kicked out of a place?
No. I don't think so. Hey, if I did, I don't remember. You know what that means?
Just struggling to,
actually, you know what? Yeah, and it was, what was it? It was over in Bellevue.
Why in Bellevue?
Yeah. What's that restaurant called? It's,
is it like a Joey's kind of thing?
It's kind of Joey's, but it's not. It's down the street from Joey's.
Okay. Is it Earl's?
Earl's. So we're sitting there. It was in my younger days, and we had a few too many, and we're just loud.
We're in chicken wing throwing
territory.
We're
just laughing. We're just laughing aloud. It's not like we're like causing a ruckus or anything. I guess we are if we're loud. We're just laughing loud. They're like, hey, you guys are just too loud, man. We got to ask you to leave. I go, all right, man, let me finish the drink. I'll get up out of here.
Yeah. Someone said, Stacy, why does it have to be maybe a drunk dude? Maybe it was a drunk chick. Maybe. I don't know. Next up in the timeline, PGA golfer Wyndham Clark took a swipe at LIV Golf and Bryson DeChambeau after yesterday's first round of the Masters. Take a listen to what he had to say here.
Yeah, we got 54 holes, you know, and in LIV Golf, they only play 54, so I like my chances. We got 54 holes, you know, and in LIV Golf, they only play 54, so I like my chances. We got a lot of golf left, and yeah, I mean, as you can see, someone shot 7 under. I could do that tomorrow.
I could do that tomorrow.
Hey, I like that. I'm with that. I don't think DeChambeau is going to fall off, though. I think, if anything, Scheffler has to catch him. But also, if you know Wyndham's story, if you don't, just go look it up, man. He's been through a lot, and mentally he's overcome a lot. So him taking little jabs at the LIV, I'm good with it. LIV, take jabs at PGA. Because we know at least right now, 4 times a year, everyone's going to come together and compete. So why not take a few shots?
Outside of Tiger, who have you found yourself rooting for most?
Akshay is a lefty who I like. He just won in Texas last week. I'm obviously Tiger. Thigala is a guy that I like. I like Max as well. And then Rory, man, even though, you know, he struggled at the Masters, man, I like Rory as well.
All right, it's time for the IRG Injury Report, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy. Wednesday's game. I'm getting all my days mixed up. Scott Service gave updates on Gregory Santos and Matt Brash.
Matt Brash threw a live BP, and that went very well. So we'll keep our fingers crossed. He can keep progressing there. Santos has picked up. He's in a throwing program now, working his way towards getting on the mound, but he's a little bit farther behind. So I don't want to get too much more detail, no timelines, nothing like that, but it has been very positive.
Sounds like Brash at least is still on track to return. He was expected to be back sometime in May. Also, Brian Wu was expected to be back in early May. So everything that we're hearing there, it sounds like at least, I know he didn't give an update on Wu in that one, but we have those updates. At least those two on track. Interesting stuff on Santos.
Weather the storm, please, guys.
Yeah, please. Come just on. If everyone could just,
if you could just
play baseball. You know what
down.
I mean?
If you could just
if
hit
could
a
just,
ball
if you could just
where
play
no
baseball,
one is standing.
I think that would be great.
And then land on the base.
And then get to the base.
And then have someone else hit the
they
ball.
They hit it, and then you go
and
to the
then
next.
You go to home.
Exactly. And when you do that, it's a point.
Don't. They're going to take you
I know,
seriously, Stacey.
I know. I need to run it back. They're going to be like, it's not points. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Should the Seahawks draft another quarterback this year? That's next.
Bump and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacey Ross.
Should the Seahawks draft a quarterback in 2 weeks? From Mark in the 360 to answer Stacey's question, yes, absolutely the Hawks should draft a quarterback. When will there be such a deep draft for a quarterback anytime soon? I love Geno. I like the pickup of Sam Howell. Short-term answers for a long-term need, though. At number 16, maybe not. Russell was a third rounder. Brady was a sixth. Nobody wins without a quarterback. What do you think about Mark?
Nobody wins without a quarterback. Yeah, because you need to suit up a quarterback. I get you. I know. I'm just being petty right now. Okay. So, yeah. Look, they can draft a quarterback. You know where you draft him? Pick 235. You know where you draft a quarterback? At pick 192. And maybe, you know what? Let's get crazy. Let's get crazy.
What?
Stacey.
Are you going fourth round?
Let's get a pick. Where are you at? Where are you at? In the fifth round. Do they not have a fifth round pick?
I know they have 1, 3.
Anyway, those two picks. Yeah. That's where you get your quarterback. I don't think this team is a quarterback, a rookie quarterback away from doing everything they want to do. They are a linebacker or two away. They're a safety or two away. They're a lineman or two away. You have to solidify those positions first. Because then what are you going to do if you draft a quarterback? You're going to say, okay, buy Sam Howell. You're young. You got experience. We're going to go with a guy with no experience at all and see if he could back up Geno for a year, which it might work out, all right? Back up for a year, and then you take over and see what's going to go down. But we're going to miss an opportunity on drafting one of the best football players in college football at number 16. You and I have talked about this a lot. 16, it starts to get gray. Guys start to blend in a little bit. But getting an offensive lineman at 16 who might be the kid from Oregon State, who might be the kid from UW, I think makes or ensures that the most important part of your offense, minus the quarterback, is good to go. Everyone needs a quarterback. You also need to protect that quarterback. You need to open up run lanes for that quarterback. And on defense, you need to get the quarterback. You need to stop the run when it comes to the quarterback. Big boys make the world go round. So I'm looking at this whole situation, and I go, look, I can see them taking a quarterback. Maybe at 16, I wouldn't recommend it. I would say you hold on to it. You got a young guy. You got an old guy. Build the team around the quarterback, and then you can insert a quarterback. Why is Brock Purdy so dang good? He's got a line. He's got a defense. He's got a running back. He's got three receivers. You put Brock Purdy on the dang Carolina Panthers, he's going to look like Bryce Young. Brock Purdy is good because he's a good quarterback, but he's surrounded by talent.
Maybe you put Bryce Young on the 49ers and he looks like Brock Purdy or better, right?
You know what
like
I mean?
He had no wide receivers, a banged up offensive line. The defense was the best part of that team, and they weren't even that stellar. Really good point. When you look at some of the options they could have at 16, I'm going to ask you a question. Mike Salk asked me this morning. He would be elated if they took Michael Penix Jr. at 16.
Really?
How would you feel?
Personally, I would love it for Michael. I like Michael Penix. I've watched his career at UW. I believe in him. I think he's going to be good for this league and for whatever team he goes to. But what situation are you putting him in? It's not a bad situation. There are worse situations than what the Seattle Seahawks are dealing with when it comes to personnel.
But also better ones.
But exactly. There are better situations. And those situations are going to be towards the end of the first round because those teams have won more games. I would be happy because I love keeping talent local. I hate that I'm going back to high school now. I hate that all these high school kids in Washington are leaving and going elsewhere because you're not taking care of home. This would be taking care of home. And if Michael Penix were available and they do go at number 16, I would trust it. Any quarterback they take, I would trust it because I trust John Schneider and his evaluation of quarterbacks. Just me being a GM, I'm looking at what the Seahawks have and saying this team could be good enough to make a push for the division, to get into the playoffs, make a push. You know, Niners on a different level, right? But be in the mix towards the end of the year. That would be the only quarterback I would accept, honestly.
Yeah.
Just because of the local ties.
Thinking that a lot of the – so my – I don't want to say desire for them to take a quarterback. My interest in them taking a quarterback is purely selfish. I'm a radio host who wants hours of free content. It is easier for me to plan a show and to enter and to ask you questions as an analyst when there is a big topic, and nothing is bigger in football than a quarterback controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Me as a fan, as an analyst – doesn't think quarterback was your biggest problem last year, and it's keeping me from thinking it's your number one solution this year.
Yeah. Geno got better in some ways last year. I know the numbers were not the same as the first year. Didn't make the Pro Bowl. Didn't throw for as many yards. The completion percentage wasn't what it was. But he also had five game-winning drives, which is the most NFL history in one season. People tend to forget that and focus on the negative.
They really do.
You also have to remember that offensive line was not healthy at all this year. There are always different bodies in there, different moving parts. It just wasn't solidified. You also got to remember that they're taking steps at building this offensive line. Anthony Bradford last year, Oluwatimi last year. You bring in Nick Harris to go ahead and compete. You got your tackles. They're not as far off offensively is what people may think. Defensively, we got a whole lot of stuff to do.
We have a lot of ground.
A lot of ground to make, but you did a good job getting Leonard Williams and locking down that position, and then you got your corners over there. So, no, it's all about the bigs to me. I think Geno's good enough to win some games. I would be fine with whoever they take at 16 if it's a quarterback. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't recommend it. Go ahead and get this roster right.
Is there any level of you that wants to find an answer for next year, knowing the class is weaker, knowing Geno may not be here?
No, I'm good. Their quarterback situation, I'm fine with it right now.
Yeah.
Because I've watched film on Sam Howell, and I think he could be he already has been a pretty good quarterback in this league. Bienemy just had him throwing the ball every dang drive opportunity. 612 attempts for a first-time starter in this league. With that team over there, with Chase Young being gone, with Montez Sweat being out of there, not having a defense you can lean on, he was set up for disaster, honestly. And he did a decent job with that over there. So I'm okay with their quarterback situation. Do I think Geno is a all-pro, lead you to the Super Bowl type of guy? All-pro, no. Super Bowl, you never know. Do I think Sam Howell is that? No, he hasn't played enough yet. We still got to figure some things out. The same questions I have for Sam Howell, I will have the same for whoever they pick at number 16. Therefore, I'm like, what's the point? Go ahead and build the roster.
I hear you. And I do, logic-wise, in a pragmatic way, side with you entirely. I think that John Schneider takes a quarterback. I think that that guy's a day three pick, and it's someone that he adds just to, you know, take a shot and see what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, roll the dice. You never know. It's the most important position in football. But I feel the exact same way in terms of where their biggest needs are and in terms of how far you can get with a weaker quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to have Patrick Mahomes to win a Super Bowl, nor is Patrick Mahomes in this class. Like, I hate to break it to you guys, but like, this idea of like drafting something you don't have and that must be the solution isn't always true. And I'm not saying that that simplified approach is what even the majority of fans, I think a minority of fans think that, but I think that as people, as humans, there is this natural instinct to go, well, you know, like you're playing fetch with your dog and they have a ball in their mouth and then you pick up another one and it drops that one and it looks at you. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about quarterback. I go, okay, yeah. I know that this guy's been solid and this guy's really promising, but what do we got over here? That's exactly how I think I and many people of any team typically feel about the draft when it comes to quarterbacks is, well, what could happen with that guy?
Yeah.
Well, he might be special. Why don't you take him? Forgetting that you got some big questions in the trenches.
Some other things to handle, man.
Exactly. All right, we are going to stick with Seahawks. Turbo joining us next. Don't go anywhere.